Happy Sabbath, church. It's lovely to see you all. And hello to everyone on Zoom as well. Howard Hughes was a big-time businessman who was a successful manufacturer, who was an aviator, and he dabbled in oil and in entertainment. He made $1 billion out of his ventures. Most people like this that we see today would be living in the moment, sitting by the pool, jet setting, living in luxury, enjoying the success. Not so with Howard Hughes. So for the last 25 years of his life, he was riddled with worry and anxiety. He was overwhelmed with unsubstantiated fear that people were out to get him. He spent his last decades living in hotels where he would rent out whole floors. Those closest to him say he was so overwhelmed by worry, by anxiety and fear, that he sat in a pitch dark room for long stretches of time. He refused to allow anyone to come in to see him. If you had to communicate with Mr. Hughes, specific instructions were provided. You had to take several tissues, cover the doorknob with them, knock, and open the door ever so lightly. Hughes required that this process was done because he was exceptionally fearful of germs. His worry led to severe stomach problems. It caused him to sit in the bathroom for hours at a time. One of his aides pointed out that once Hughes actually sat in the bathroom for 27 straight hours. On the rare occasions he ventured out, he instructed his driver to only drive on smooth roads. The driver was never to exceed 35 miles per hour. On the chance that they had to cross railroad tracks or some uneven part of the road, the driver was to slow down to 2 miles per hour. Howard was nervous about getting into a wreck. Hughes, his name as well was Howard Hughes. Hughes was a man who seemingly had it all but worry. You can imagine he was a billionaire. And he had worry and worry and anxiety dominated his life. The overwhelming paradox of Hughes was that the more successful he got, the more money he accrued, the more worry and anxiety festered in his soul. The paradox that Mr. Hughes faced is one that we too may face. We tell ourselves that if I had this or that, then I would defeat worry and fear. This is no lasting happiness. There is no lasting happiness in earthly treasures. Happiness only comes in Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we invite the Holy Spirit into this place. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you will be glorified. Use me, Lord, to deliver this message. It is not I, but it is you. We give you the glory, dear Father. We thank you for your gift to come and to die for us. Dear Lord, please take over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading that we heard read was from Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. And I'll just repeat it, but we've already come across it. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God, which surpasses all understanding. It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So one of the things I want to ask you is, how do you deal with worry and anxiety in your life? Are you fearful? So do you find a self-help book on anxiety? Or do you search the web for answers? Do you look to others to help relieve some of the worry in your life? Do you rely on what the experts on TV, radio, media tell us and take it to heart? Okay, so I'm going to share with you some statistics. Now, Anxiety UK tells us, based on results of research for 2022 by a company called Champion Health, in any given week in London, 6 in 100 people will be diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Now, we know that anxiety obviously is mental health. In the UK, over 8 million people are experiencing an anxiety disorder at any one time. And this comes from the Mental Health UK. Now, a lot of people look at mental health and there is a stigma to it. You know, the levels of what does mental health entail? If one is severely depressed to a point where it's taking over your life, that is mental health. When we are so worried that we are not able to function on a day-to-day basis, it is mental health. We all, at some point in our lives, have found ourselves in a situation of a high level of stress, or a point where we felt we couldn't deal with it. That is mental health. I normally work with children, and it shocked me that mental health affects babies as well. So it is a crisis that we are living in. The way the world works today, there is so much uncertainty. We've just come out of COVID, and we have seen what it has done to families, to individuals, and to people at large. It is so sad that we have to go through this. This isn't what God originally intended for us. When Adam and Eve sinned, unfortunately, this was some of the results. As we move in an uncertain world, as we can see what is happening around the world, we have a war that is taking place in Ukraine with Russia that has affected us in a mighty way. We have seen an increase in the gas prices. We've seen an increase in the petrol prices. We've seen an increase of food. We're being advised to start stockpiling. Most recently, go into the supermarket, can you find eggs? You have to drive around because there's a scarcity. And these are some of the effects of sin, of things that have happened, things that are yet to come. And we are told in Matthew 24 to look out, where Jesus tells us to look out and to see the signs of the time that Jesus is coming soon. Now, I don't know about you, each and every one of you here, but what I do know is that Jesus surely is going to come. Are we ready for him to come? Are we called? Do we know our calling? Have we accepted the call? A lot of people say, well, I can't because I haven't got the capacity to do it. God qualifies the called. So whatever it is, he will help us to get where we need to go. So we look at Philippians says, and it says, in nothing be anxious, do not be anxious. So the world is full of large-scale catastrophic events that we've sensed, as I mentioned, the pandemics, I've mentioned the war, I mentioned economic uncertainty, senseless violence and social unrest. Every single day there's a murder, there's murders, there's people killed, all sorts of things that are happening. Things we never anticipated have come upon us, suddenly affecting us all. Every single day, every hour, there are constant updates delivered to us on the 24-hour news coverage that instill fear, worry for ourselves, family, friends, livelihoods, well-being, you can name it. So many people who struggle with anxiety, related conditions, are negatively affected by their worrisome thoughts. Worry is just one aspect of anxiety. We know that worry is that feeling of uneasiness that happens when your thoughts are focused on difficulties in our lives or potential problems that have not actually occurred. Sometimes worries are caused by procrastination or an inability to make a decision. What are the most common worries we face? Money, bills, debt, fear about financial security, how to raise and educate our children, retirement, fears over redundancy, unemployment, work relations with employers, loneliness, health, bereavement, the future, getting elderly and wondering who's going to look after me. I live on my own. When I'm sick, who's going to help me? It is one of those things that we need to worry. I was listening to a speaker on a radio program, and he is an expert in economics. And he said that we all need to be worrying intelligently. This is definitely not the case. How can we worry intelligently? We are told when we glorify Christ today that we need to make a decision not to worry. What we face is the things I've mentioned: depression, uncertainty, serious anxiety. And the biggest lies that we can think of is that maybe if my financial situation changes, things will work for me. There is no lasting happiness in earthly treasures, and happiness only comes from Jesus. Now, I'd like this to be as interactive as possible. So could I have someone to stand and read Ecclesiastes 2:8-11? And this supports us that there is no lasting happiness in worldly pleasures. Ecclesiastes 2:8-11.
I thought the hopes of God and God. There was no prophet under the sun.
Amen. So we can see that despite all these things, and I talked about Mr. Hughes, it's meaningless unless we have a relationship and we give our lives to Christ. So in Steps to Christ, page 100, Sister White says, keep your wants, your joys, your sorrows, your cares, and your fears before God. You cannot burden him. You cannot weary him. He who numbers the hairs of your head is not indifferent to the wants of his children. The Lord is very pitiful and out of tender mercy, and this is found in James 5:11. His heart of love is touched by our sorrows and even by our utterances of them. Take to him everything that perplexes the mind. Nothing is too great for him to bear, for he holds up worlds. He rules over all the affairs of the universe. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for him to notice. There is no chapter in our experience too dark for him to read. There is no perplexity too difficult for him to unravel. No calamity can befall the least of his children. No anxiety harasses the soul. No joy cheer, no sincere prayer escape the lips of which our Heavenly Father is unobservant or in which he takes no immediate interest. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth their wounds. Psalm 147:3 says, the relations between God and each soul are as distinct and full as though there were not another soul upon the earth to share his watch care, not another soul for whom he gave his beloved son. John 3:16, it tells us about the gift of giving us his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So many things don't go the way that we want. So we expect that as God's children, we are chosen, we're beloved, and we believe since we're his, I should get a stress-free, trouble-free life with favorable treatment from God who favors me. But I go to church every Sabbath. I return a faithful tithe. I worship my God. But unfortunately, we are not exempt from the trials and tribulations that will come and give us muddy detours and terrible treatment from others. We believe that all will be better for us believers. So in the Bible, we see men and women who went through trials and tribulation. And one of those that I saw and that I found, which was really interesting, because a lot of the prophets talk to us about what God has told them, or they address to us, whatever the situation. But we have here one prophet, and he was Habakkuk. And he was one. Could I just get someone to read Habakkuk 1, please? To read the book of Habakkuk. Up until 11. It's a small book. Yes, if you read, yes, from the first. One second. So can you start reading from the beginning, please? Thank you very much for that reading. I really advise us to read Habakkuk 1, the whole of it. So basically what he's doing here, Habakkuk is all the other prophets, basically when the Lord speaks to him, they relate the information to the people. But Habakkuk on this case is making a complaint to the Lord. He's asking the Lord a question: how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? I cry out to you, O Lord. So he's having a dialogue with God. He goes straight to the Lord with his burden. How long will this go on? There's so much injustice. Why are we going through this? And the direction is really interesting. So think about it. How many times have we gone through trials? Do we go to the Lord and say, Lord, why is this happening? Why is this going the way it is? But the amazing thing is we start off with Habakkuk really upset about the injustice. And he's asking the Lord, how come you are allowing this to happen? And how long must we call for help? Why do you not listen? How many times have you knelt down, had a trouble or a trial, and you've gone to the Lord in prayer, and it goes months, years, and it's not answered? And so he's demanding an answer. But our Lord, he says, the just shall live by faith. And he answers him, and he says to him, he tells him why. He says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, for the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So the Lord explains, we cannot question God, but he explains to him. And in the next couple of verses, he's actually singing and praising the Lord, because he knows that he lets God have his way, because God is sovereign. So that is one of the things that we need to accept. So one of the major strategies Satan has, and he uses to keep Christians living in a cycle of defeat and worry, is to torment and oppress the minds of God's children until they are so bound by worry that they're unable to walk in faith and have a closer relationship with God. The enemy's strategy is to disarm us, to take our most powerful weapon from us, which is the word of God, as he knows the power of the word. Jesus used it to defeat him in the wilderness. With our minds filled with worry, we are unable to believe God's covenant promises for healing or any of the needs that we have. For any of those prayers, perhaps, that haven't been answered, God is sovereign. He does all things for us, for our good, in his own perfect timing. When our needs are not met, we become weary. We become faint in our minds. We become discouraged. We become depressed. And this produces more stress, and we continue in this cycle of defeat. We come into a level of fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. A spirit of fearlessness and humility does not come from God. God has planned our minds to be free for us to be able to live trusting in him. Many of the times that we are concerned about things in our lives, they don't actually happen in the end because the Lord steps in. He never leaves us on our own. He has commanded us not to worry about the cares of the life, of this life. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? And that's found in Luke 12, 22 to 32. We're not to worry about even the basic necessities of life. Just look at the flowers. You know, have you noticed timing? Even, for example, the flowers bloom. Who does that? God does not want us to worry about our finances. How are we going to have money to pay our bills? Brothers and sisters, we all have our personal worries. We all have our fears. We all have our doubts. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And this can be found in Numbers 23, verses 19. Whatever it is you're asking God for, or waiting on, please trust on the Lord. Paul told the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're already in a new year. We don't know what is yet to come for us. But when we stay grounded in Christ, he will continue to protect us, to shield us, and to keep us. And if it so happens, because, you know, you can imagine so many people started with us and so many people have already passed away. But we know we should not be afraid of death. But what we should be afraid of is not living a life with Christ, rejecting him, so that when death comes, then there is no opportunity to repent. The Lord is coming, but he doesn't want us to worry about anything. In the midst of the fierce storms of life that will come, with the sea roaring and tossing in the boat, just as in Matthew 4:38, Jesus simply says to each and every one of us, peace, be still. Jesus will deliver each and every one of us, whatever we're going through, he will deliver us out of the storm. Our Lord Jesus has warned us about the worries of this life, Mark 4:18-19. He says we should not choke the word, making it unfruitful. We should trust in the word of the Lord, knowing that he is not going to leave us nor forsake us. We need to be practical in our walk with Christ. Practical in the sense that we need to search him while he may be found. It's not about coming to church and ticking the register. It's not about giving, doing charity. It's all about building and having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift that he's given us, to die on the cross for each and every one of us. He's gone to prepare a home for us. Can you imagine what he's doing right now? When we look at the book of Revelation towards the end, we're told what heaven is going to be like. There's going to be mansions. There's going to be a life that we have never, ever encountered. But unfortunately, because of sin, we're in this dark world. So many things can happen to us at any given time, but we need to walk with Christ every single day. Are we engaging in prayer? And prayer is the most important part. It's a communication with God. Do we communicate with God? Just imagine you have a friend and they only call you when they want something. What do we call such friends? They only call when they want something. We end up saying, well, this person is using me. They use us. But the Lord doesn't say that to us. His door is open. His ears are open. And he's saying to us, just call me. And how do we call? Many times people think prayer means you even have to go on your knees. You know, if you're in a place, in a public place, just silent prayer, just time to commune with God. We haven't seen what is yet to come. Because when we look at prophecy and it tells us what is the tribulation that we're going to face, we need to prepare our hearts. We need to be practical that it's not business as usual. Satan is gathering his demonic forces to fight against the children of God. We are told in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. They have been discharged. They are moving quickly and swiftly, looking to whom they will devour. And it's down to us to equip ourselves with prayer, a time to work and walk with the Lord our God. He cannot force us because he's such a loving God. He's a God who wants us to come on our own in our own goodwill. Many of us only turn to the Lord when something goes wrong, we get sick, we think of God then. What about making the time to build that wonderful relationship with our Heavenly Father who is protecting us? He sends the angelic forces to watch over us, but he cannot force us. He's calling us, all of us, one by one. We're all going through different challenges in our lives, and the Lord is not leaving us. He's there with us. Even when we don't think he's there, he's there. Even when you don't hear the answer, you apply for a job and you keep applying and nothing is happening. He never leaves us. Can I ask anyone here who has gone to bed any day without eating? And I would say we all have had a chance to eat. We all wake up in the morning and we're able to go into our day to day. Let us make a difference in our lives. Our church is spacious enough. Are we able to go out the byways and highways and share about the Lord Jesus Christ? Next week and the week coming, let us have a challenge. Let everyone bring someone to church to learn about Jesus. If they can't come, what about Bible study? If we need to learn about Bible study, we perhaps are not so good with the Bible. That's what the elders and other members, you don't have to be an elder to be able to teach. We have some members who have been with Christ for a very long time. We're all going to be held accountable because the Lord is expecting action from each and every one of us. What are we doing to bring others to know about Jesus? And he says, And do you know something? Most of the time we look at the delay, we say, oh, the Lord, you know, can you imagine the 18th, 16th centuries, times and times before, they say Jesus is coming. People are saying Jesus is coming. He's been coming for a very long time. But you know what? Jesus is waiting. He wants to make sure that everybody has an equal opportunity to know about him. We've heard of recently some uncovered parts of the world, in the Amazon, in the forests. It's God's intention that every single person should be saved. And we are all called disciples. When we accept Christ in our lives, that is the job that we have to do. We need to go out and share the gospel. And how also do we do that? By the way we treat others, by the way we interact with others. Are we Christians at work, at church, and at work and outside? We're different people. Because sometimes you may not have the opportunity to share Jesus in the workplace, but you may show it by our deeds. We need to be always on watch. Luke 21, verse 34 says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Knowing that God loves and cares for you and me, we must have God's peace that will cover our hearts and our minds. May we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Hebrews 3:7 says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen.